This is DreamWords. Tom Corvin by Paul Storey.
Chapter 17. When Catriona had finished telling Tom the truth about her father, the pair became silent in each other's company. Neither wanted the silence, but it was there just the same. Awkward, a cloud of irrational fog hanging in the air that stopped them saying what they meant. They tried, of course. "I'm so sorry," said Tom, glancing briefly at the liquid satin of the stream. He touched her hands as they lay clasped on her lap and meant the words as they left his mouth. But the sentiment was confused by selfish thoughts he was too ashamed of to allow freedom to speak. Talk of family, of parents fighting each other for her love, awoke in Tom a longing to belong, to be loved as the girl was. And watching Craig and Cottage over Catriona's shoulder, listening to the gurgling water by his side, the nearby sea and the birds stirring their dreams with the coconut smell of yellow broom in the air, that longing tried to find its home in this place, as though Catriona and he were family and he'd found his way home. He hugged her, his twin tears tracked her beautiful and tragic skin, and she hugged him back. Seconds later, with the smell of her hair dwarfing the broom, she pulled away to check on her father. Tom walked the beach. He skimmed stones and then retook his perch in the small rock tower he and the girl had shared before Sparky had interrupted them. He turned his back on the sea and looked at Cregan, searching for the source of familiarity he felt earlier. He was as certain as ever that he'd been here before, and now that he knew that his hosts were squatters, he wondered about its current owner. Ferguson, Pickaxe Man had said. The name meant nothing to him. Tom's was Corvin. He recognised that, sure enough. So he would definitely recall another if there was a strong link. Probably. No, the name meant nothing, but Craig and Cottage did. He stared and stared at the building, trying to tease the feelings he had to the surface. Occasionally he'd feel the fishing line in his brain snag a thought, but as he plucked a juicy fact from his subconscious, it would slip the hook, leaving him more certain than ever that he was right, and that somehow he belonged here. Neither Catriona nor Tom avoided each other, but by the time she finished her ministrations, the barrier was thick with that awkward and invisible fog. Unable to sit still, Tom stood atop the rocky plinth and looked at the hill beyond the cottage. Drifting patches of shadow lazed over the bright green and brown skin of the small mountain. The path, a light green line where it was grassy and brown where it was not, ran up from the cottage for 50 meters before turning right. To Tom, it was suddenly a lifeline that joined him to a world he never knew. The world that brought Sparky and a friendly master to them. He looked left, searching for the man at work, but he moved on, the coast empty and wild and something, that almost something teasing him like a tickle in his head he couldn't scratch. Turning to the hill, another something caught his eye at the point where the path turned right. A pile of stones, too ordered to be accidental, lay to the left of the curve. Tom jumped to the ground, made his way to the side of the cottage, and climbed the hill. An old ruin, barely a small complex of rectangular waist-high walls, overlooked Craggan. The stream ran underground here, a pleasing backdrop to the serene and peaceful locale. Tom picked his way through the bracken and ankle-twisting clumps of heather. As he did, and as he neared the ruin, he inexplicably teared as though a small gust of wind gritted his eyes. He rubbed them, aware that there was no such wind, no swirling dust, no grit to make him cry. The smell of wood smoke drifted from Craggan and somehow gave life to the ruin so that Tom could almost imagine its ancient inhabitants huddled over the fire as another frustrated storm battered ineffectually at the walls. The very same unassailable walls that lay now as straight-line jumbles of grey stone. Looking down on Craggan's roof, to the slightly sighing sea, to the distant hills and the never-ending sky, Tom did not find the view from the ruin beautiful. It broke his heart. Inexplicable tears dropped to his cheeks, but Tom did not notice them. A sound, faint at first, caused him to turn on the spot. A soft sigh and then a song. A woman's voice seemed to rise from the subterranean stream and fill the air with sweet music. And then a violin, a fiddle, haunting the air like the plaintive cry of a lover lost to her love. An overwhelming sense of sadness and joy followed Tom through the ruin, and he felt then as though he never wanted to leave this place for the rest of his life. Beyond the walls, the hill rose steeply, the building itself in a flat step that formed a natural terrace, perfect for a small croft. A cluster of rocks caught Tom's eye. About 20 meters from the top left corner, it seemed to draw from him another sensation, a sensation that turned the joy of his discovery to a dread that closed the doors on whatever feelings they stirred deep within him. He stared, and the plaintive strings became a screech, and then a scream that fell to Katriana's call, beckoning him back to the cottage. Chapter 18. With the shadow of dusk racing over him, white smoke floating in an unbending column from the chimney, and the smell of bacon in the air, Tom left the strange pile of stones and joined Katriana to eat. The smoke, it turned out, was from a mix of partially dried wood and the remnants of the pre-storm hoard. A small driftwood teepee hissed and popped in the hearth, and Katriana sat in the armchair as Tom, suddenly ravenous, gulped a handful of rashers and beans as though he hadn't eaten for days. "Sorry," she said, nodding to his plate. "Dad was supposed to bring supplies back in the boat." The word "dad" seemed light on her lips. "This is good," Tom muttered between mouthfuls. "Really good." Of course, he needed about 10 times more than she'd give him, but he was grateful just the same. Finished, he ran a finger around the plate and sucked the flavour from his skin. Katriana hardly touched her own. Despite himself, Tom couldn't resist a hungry glance at her meal as she placed it on a small coffee table and sat back in her seat. "Take it." Tom felt like a beggar and hesitated. "Please," she continued, "I'm not hungry." Seconds later, Katriana's plate was empty, and at last the boy felt like he'd dulled the pangs cramping his stomach. Desperate for something to say, he asked about her father. Listening to the fevered moan boring through the wall, Tom could guess the answer, but he asked anyway. "I'm worried." "You won't have it, though, Tom. He's frightened they'll take me away." "It's got to happen sometime. You said yourself, the whole nation is on the lookout for you. You can't stay here forever, and as soon as you're seen together, that's it." Tom saw the look of defeat in Katriana's face. "Look, Tom, I'm sorry I lied, but you don't know what it's like to have your parents..." She stopped then and looked suddenly guilty. I'm sorry, I didn't mean that." The ice thawed, Katriana's black hair catching a line of reflected light as the fire suddenly broke through some barrier and became a healthy blaze. "You know," she said, "once you're out, you'll be home soon enough. Someone's bound to have reported you missing." Tom leant forward, his heart and thoughts flitting between this moment with Catriona, his determination to get help, and the Cregan dreams that seemed to beckon him like beautiful and hellish sirens. "I don't need to leave here to find out." The look he gave her was enough. She understood immediately what he was saying, without him needing to ask. "You know, my aunt could have been wrong." "Then she's wrong. Will you do it?" Catriona looked around the room and shivered. She'd not seen what Tom had, but was infected by his fevered emotions and imagined the dead rising from hidden cellars and floating through stone floors to drag them to their graves. But this time her fear did not stop her. She understood now exactly what Tom was going through. Despite her earlier and truthful words about her fears, she'd always harboured a curiosity to try a séance. And if it didn't work, so what? And now, sitting before her, was the best reason she would ever have to try. "Okay," she said finally. "We'll do it." She stood and grasped the two plates from the table, but before she could make whatever preparation she thought necessary, Tom spoke softly, as though he didn't want to break Catriona's cooperative mood. "Not here," he said. "The ruin above the cottage." Catriona thought about this, standing with the plates in her hands and backlit by the fire. "Why?"
"I don't know for sure. I just sort of know without knowing anything. It's a feeling, that's all."
As he spoke, he heard the music in his head, the fiddle, the haunting cry. Catriona nodded. "Fine," she agreed. "The ruin it is." After checking on Callum, they wrapped themselves warm, Tom in a dark fleece belonging to Catriona, Catriona in the pink jumper she'd worn on the edge of the boiling sea. It was surprisingly warm outside, a full moon and sparse clouds giving the land a definition beyond the gloom he'd seen before. Somewhere above them a deer barked. Tom took a gas lantern, its hiss a constant and unchanging note that drowned the sounds of the streams, his thumping heart, and Catriona's rhythmic breath as it climbed the hill. The light from the lamp formed a bubble around them. It was so bright that when holding it, arms stretched in front, Tom was partially blinded by its intensity. He brought it down to his side where it threw his own shadow to the left and Catriona's to the right. Soon they reached the ruin, the clumpy heather threatening to trip them with every step. The hiss of the lamp seemed to fade over time despite its constancy. Perhaps it was anticipation, nerves or excitement, but on entering the cloistered walls of the ruin, Tom felt the same mixture of dread and joy he'd felt earlier, and just knew that the answer to who he was lay right here, in this place. And tonight, he would know exactly what that answer was.
DreamWorks.com.